Reading Luther on the sacraments reveals what he thinks about the Word of God. To Luther, it's the Word that makes a sacrament what it is. Whenever the Word is united to an element, it becomes something else. This shouldn't bother us because of the nature of God's Word. It's not a dead letter, but a living Word with power. Read the first two chapters of Genesis to see God speaking things into being. His Word brings matter into existence. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal to believe God when he breaks bread and says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Or when he calls baptismal waters the waters of regeneration. If he says in baptism, "You are united to him and thus his child," believe it. God does not deceive and is intent on you being certain of your salvation and confident in his forgiveness, which he freely imparts to sinners in tangible, specific ways. Opinions cannot change what God speaks. And this characteristic of God declaring things to be certain realities doesn't stop with the sacraments. It applies to you. God describes you. If he says you are guilty, the verdict stands, just as it does when he says you're innocent. The unbeliever can rage against God, trust in his own wisdom and works while thinking he's untouchable. He can prop himself up on the throne of human wisdom and scorn the church for her foolishness. But it doesn't matter what he thinks of himself. God swiftly condemns unbelief. It's one of the deadly marks of unbelief, to be blind from seeing how you really are before the Creator of the universe. Without faith is no forgiveness. You die in sin. The point here is your view of yourself isn't what matters before God. What counts is his view of you. The righteousness we need to make it into heaven comes from outside of us. God's righteousness is an alien righteousness. What that means is divine, perfect righteousness of God is foreign to our body and soul. It doesn't come from us. It must be given. The gospel is an external word spoken by God upon sinners, and thus he bespeaks you righteousness. He conveys his divine righteousness in his word when he calls you blessed and forgiven for his sake. Note the direction of salvation. It's from God to man. This is terribly important at all times, but perhaps most especially in moments of tremendous affliction when you feel as if God has left you or your sin has excluded you from heaven. Repent and receive. Don't doubt but believe that God saves the crushed in spirit. He looks upon contrite sinners, sinners crushed by the law, seeking his mercy. And he absolves them, heals them, forgives them, and puts them on level ground. God gives salvation through Jesus, all the time, every time. In Jesus, you are his child, sealed by his name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This means peace with God. The law and its accusations are silenced as you live to God, but dead to sin. Compare this blessed word to feelings, and you might find a great disparity between God's view of you in Christ and what you feel on the inside. You may feel like the flames of hell are licking at your feet. However, God's declaration of the baptized believer is, you are his priceless treasure, rescued from hell and an heir to heaven. You may feel worthless, yet in God's sight, you are easily worth dying for. Feelings of defeat reach a pinnacle when staring at a casket. At the funeral of Heather Butler, who some of you know very well as she lives with her Savior, person made the statement to me very emphatically that the funeral was sad all the way around. That's simply not true for the Christian. In fact, that's a statement of unbelief. When you think there is nothing but sadness when the baptized believer departs, that's a lie from Satan's mouth, because Jesus teaches the believer has his kingdom and will see him face to face. We die to live, and so through sadness and tears flooding our eyes at the death of a saint, faith still rejoices in the promise of God, who says his saints have heaven. Sorry, Satan. Sorry, death. His people have heaven, and they see him face to face when they go to be with him in his eternal habitations. The separation now, yes, it stings a lot, but it's temporary. For not even death separates you from Christ. Through the tears, faith sees the goodness of God to save in death and grant us a reunion in heaven where death does not exist. On this All Saints Day in the Gospel lesson, Jesus is speaking. And he talks about what it means to be blessed in the eyes of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want all of you to pay careful attention to that little word is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means the kingdom is yours in Christ right now, even as you feel poor in spirit. Why would people in the spirit also be poor? Why would Jesus use that phrase, poor? In spirit. Because of sin, we are beggars. Our hands are empty. Our bodies are spent. Our hearts produce sins. We live as saints, but also sinners. We live in the spirit, but poor and needy. We are afflicted, tempted, and guilty, but by the Spirit of God, there's faith. And when there is faith, there is Jesus. And when there is Jesus, there is his kingdom. This is what Jesus says, even if we feel otherwise. His promise overrides the devil's arrows. For his promise, his gospel, makes you what he says you have and who you are, a redeemed creature who will see him, your Savior, face to face, and you have even now his kingdom. But the Beatitudes have a dual function. Yes, on the one hand, they tell you what you have even now. You are poor, maybe even persecuted, but you have the kingdom. On the other hand, the Beatitudes tell you what you're going to have. You will be comforted. You will inherit. You will be satisfied. You will receive mercy. You will see God. You will be his child in heaven. The future tense verbs in verses 4 through 9 point to the future reality for God's saints dwelling in heaven. Whatever heaven is exactly like, one thing is for certain. You will be satisfied. And this includes no tears, which we shed a lot of when someone dies. But in heaven, tears really are dried up. The saints dwell with God in robes made white by the blood of the Lamb. They've escaped the great tribulation and now live with God without one single stain. The distance between us and them, saints on earth and saints in heaven, isn't as great as you might think. Even now, you are not totally separated from these people. These saints in heaven. Remember who God says you are. The believer is not alone. The believer is in the one true church spanning the globe. And in this one true church, this communion of saints is always together in unity with Christ, who calls his church, his people, his very own body. You are part of the body of Christ. We rejoice together, we suffer together, and we even pray together in the same Holy Spirit. You are not totally separated from your loved ones. You are with them because you are with Christ. Where there is the King, there is his kingdom and his people. Prayer chains do not give you this unity. And you don't need prayer chains to be connected with other Christians or to get God's attention when you pray. In Christ, you are part of the one true church in communion with all his saints. And God hears the voice of all his saints. You don't pray by yourself. You pray with the body of believers. What do you think it means when we begin the Lord's Prayer with the words, "Our Father"? Who is the "our"? You are not alone. It is the church praying in the Son, with whom our prayers, your prayers, are always heard. Not because of the numbers, but because of the intercessor himself, Jesus, with whom we pray when we say "our Father." You pray in the Son, you pray as the body, and God hears your prayers every single time. All of these promises in this Word of God mean we can rejoice through the tears, knowing and believing in what God has declared concerning who we are. He calls you blessed because you live in the blessed righteous one who is Jesus. And your life in him is on account of faith. Faith in Christ means you have what he says you have, and you live in his body, the church. The world rages, kingdoms totter, temptations assail us, and they will. They will this side of heaven. But this need not frighten you, because God's word overrides all of it. Christ has conquered all of it and will bring his saints out of the tribulation. He will bring you out of tribulation, and you will have glistening robes made pure by his blood, the blood of the Lamb, when he takes you to be with him, where you will see him face to face as he is. You will see your loved ones who have departed in Christ. You will see them again. The separation is always temporary for God's people. And remember, too, even now, you live with them as that blessed communion of the saints, the holy Christian church. Where the King is, there is his kingdom, and there are his people. The devil has lost. Your sin, all of it, is covered by the blood of the Lamb, and so you belong to God in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until that blessed reunion and life everlasting. Amen.